now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Addy Shilton.
And I'm Steffi Barnett. On today's show, we're joined by Jess from the Good Law Project talking about their vital work using the law to defend trans rights.
And we've got the legendary Sister Sledge. We caught up with them at Bristol Pride just before they closed on the main stage. Oh, what an interview it was. Wasn't it?
You finished?
Yeah.
All today.
Right here on Shout Out. What was that?
Yeah, exactly.
Sounded like the Goon Show. Do you remember the Goons? Ying Tong, Ying Tong, Ying Tong.
I know what you mean. I know what you're referring to, but many people were not.
Harry Seacombe.
You're going back to the 1950s there.
Those of us that don't thought that might have been a little bit offensive, to be fair.
What, Ying Tong, Ying Tong, Ying Tong?
Yeah, I don't think you say things like that these days, can you?
I don't know. It was pretty innocuous then, wasn't it? Harry Seacombe.
It was the 1950s. There was a lot of things that...
It was just silly. They used to do silly voices, didn't they?
I mean, everyone was gay, but that was because they thought it meant happy.
Well, we were happy in those days. That's why they sung about it.
Everyone was happy in the 1950s. Everything was correct.
Yes.
And does that make you gay?
The Daily Mail, goddammit, will take us back to that if they...
Does that make you gay and gay?
Sorry?
Does that make you gay and gay back then? Like, you
gay and gay.
Homosexual and happy.
Homosexual and happy.
They were still rationing back then. If the Daily Mail wants to take us back then, when I was born, there was still
until 1955.
World War rationing.
Yeah, there was.
So, guess what? You remember how much we went on and on about Dance Dance?
Yeah.
No.
The Sister Sledge.
Bless them.
They were such good sports. I found the song. So we're going to play it.
Yes.
I promised her that we would.
You dug deep.
I did. Yes, took a bit of finding, but we did.
Detective work.
So, but before we do, we've got something a little bit more serious to talk about than that, haven't we? You managed to catch up with Jess, who we met at Pride as well, didn't we?
We did. Yeah, and they've got a lot of things on, but as well as Ofcom, they're also fighting for trans rights and taking the government to court over the guidance that's about to hit us on the 5th of August. Do you know, it's so good when you know somebody's got your back. And in history, that's always been the same. When the downtrodden or minority groups need help, there's always somebody who stands up for them. And we need someone like the Good Law Project who have got the backs of the trans community. I'm joined by Jess from the Good Law Project. Jess, welcome to Shout Out.
Hi, it's great to be here.
How are you doing?
It's good. It's still a little bit warm, isn't it?
It is. I tell you what, earlier there was a nice breeze blowing through and that's stopped now. So all I've got is heat. I've got a fan right behind me. So if you can hear a gentle hum in the background, it's me being slightly cooled. Right. First of all, let's go back to beginning. So how and when did the Good Law Project start?
So the Good Law Project is now nearly a decade old next year, so it's a decade old, which is astonishing. But the Good Law Project is an organization which exists to kind of use the law to achieve good, so to fight against hate and spread hope. And obviously in recent years, some of that work has included work on behalf of the trans community, who we know have been massively under attack. I'm our trans rights lead at Good Law Project, so I've been working on that, particularly since the Supreme Court judgment last year.
Wow, you must have seen quite a lot of hatred. Is much of that hatred directed at your organisation as well as individuals and trans organisations?
Well, you know, I think we obviously are a target because people know the work we're doing to defend trans rights, and that people who object to trans people having those rights are not necessarily massive fans of our organisation. But, you know, the people who have really been subject to the most attacks over the last year have been trans people, who have been made to feel like they are unwanted in this country, like they can't exist in public life. You know, we speak to trans people all the time. I speak to other people in the trans community who are terrified of the situation we have ended up in, who are afraid that they can't use the toilet anymore, who that they can't be part of the organizations they've been part of and key contributors to for years. So it's really, you know, obviously we get some difficult stuff, but it's really trans people, ordinary trans people in their day-to-day lives that are taking the real brunt of this hatred.
Are the Good Law Project doing other things and fighting for other minorities, not just the trans community?
Yeah, of course. So I'm a trans rights lead. So I work primarily on trans rights issues, but my colleagues are working on a variety of different issues, from climate justice to Palestine to racial discrimination. We are using the law as a tool to try and protect the rights of all different kinds of groups, and just to protect all of us, really, to protect democracy, to push back against the far right. I'm really proud to work for an organization that works across such a wide range of issues.
Yeah, I've seen you're also taking on GB News, but it's not the first time, is it, that you've taken them on? I've seen that quite a few times in your writing.
And Talk TV. So we are, and this is a case I'm working on a little bit, we are judicially reviewing Ofcom for their failure, continued failure to take action against these sort of far-right broadcasters who platform this horrible disinformation about minority groups and spread hate. We think that, you know, we're meant to have a broadcast regulator who regulates broadcast, shockingly. So we've issued a legal challenge because we don't think Ofcom are doing their jobs properly, and we want them to be doing better.
Mm. I think there's a lot of people who might sleep better knowing that your organisation are around Jess.
Yeah, I think I sleep better knowing I get to go and work for an organisation that's doing this kind of work right now when trans rights are under attack. No matter what you see in like the sort of Westminster political circles where all of this anti-trans vitriol is drummed up, the reality is at best, most people are actually quite supportive of their trans friends and colleagues and family members. They want them to be able to live lives of dignity and peace. And at worst, most people just don't care either way, don't know what's going on, don't know the impact this stuff is having on trans people. But yes, in the press, being framed as predators, being framed as a danger, being framed as angry activists. And we know that's not true. Trans people just want to live ordinary lives like the rest of the country, like everyone else. We just want to have normal lives that we can live in peace. Most people, a really, really large number of people in this country, do stand with trans people, do support trans rights, and are not interested in policies or politics which seeks to demonize and attack trans people.
Yeah, indeed. And do you know what amazes me, Jess, is that we can go back decades and everything was quite peaceful. I've been using Ladies Lose now for about 30 years without an issue. But now somebody has decided to put trans heads above the parapet and start firing at them. When there is no issue, trans people have just been getting on with their lives. And we did a segment that we put on our social media about biology and the history of trans people. Records of trans people have been in history for over 4,000 years. There's actual records dated for 4,000 years ago. So it's crazy that there's still people out there who think it's a social media contagion. They don't learn about biology, and in comes the Supreme Court to say we're going to ignore biology. We're not having any defense from the trans community. We're just going to go black and white. We're going to go biblical, in fact. We're going to go man, woman, everybody else outside of that is out. So they've actually dragged intersex people down as well. In fact, there's probably more intersex people than there are trans people. And they've kicked them under the bus just to get a lesser minority.
Yeah, so actually one of the claimants in our challenge to the Equality and Human Rights Commission's interim guidance, which is the guidance they put out very shortly after the decision in For Women Scotland, telling organisations that they should exclude trans people. One of our claimants in that case is an intersex person. So, you know, it is a massive issue. There are intersex people now being told that they can't use the toilets as well. I think a lot of trans people are aware, but perhaps fewer other people are aware that really trans people were always kind of a first step. And the attack on our rights is being used to attack lots of other people's rights too, including women's rights, including disabled people's rights, and obviously the wider LGBTQ plus community. So I think you're right to highlight that, you know, that trans people have always been here. We'll always be here. There's nothing that's being put in this guidance or in any of the transphobic stuff that's currently happening that can stop trans people from existing. All it does is try and make our lives miserable while we are here. And we'll keep fighting back against that and defending trans human rights.
Yeah, it's like history repeating itself, isn't it? From, you know, 100 years ago. I think it was in the early 1930s when Hitler and the Nazis decided they were going to start with the trans community. And we know what happened next.
I think that's right. I think we all have to stand together to resist hate, right? Against an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. And, you know, I like that I see the trans community standing up for other communities that are currently under attack as well. And I think it's really important that we all stand together to resist hate.
Indeed, Jess, indeed. Yeah. I think, Jess, what hurts me most is not so much, you know, the people in the street who might be a bit ignorant of the trans community, because why would they be knowledgeable if they've never come, because we're such a minority, they might not have ever come across a trans person and it's not probably come up in their social network. What worries me and what really I find painful is when organizations like Stonewall put posts up and there are lesbian and gay people who are very anti-trans. And that I find really painful.
I think they're an incredibly vocal minority, like such a minority of the LGBTQ plus community. I mean, I remember a poll about who was supportive of trans people within the LGBTQ plus community. And lesbians are more supportive of trans people than trans people are. So
I love that.
That tells you something. Right, this is absolutely not, this is entirely manufactured. You know, you see these sort of prominent and outspoken few people. What I mostly worry about in the wider queer community isn't people who are vocally against trans people's rights. It's those people who know what's happening, see the attacks, and aren't speaking out now, because it really is a case of trans people being the first step in a wider and quite deliberate attack on LGBTQ plus rights more broadly. We're seeing attacks on prides and pride organizations now, flagging like any involvement in pride itself as being political. So I think people need to realize how serious this is, how serious it's going to keep being. And I really hope that people are encouraged by our campaign to stand by the trans community when they most need it.
Yeah, indeed, Jess. And like you, I do understand that it is a vocal minority, but I think for some of the trans community over the last couple of years, they, you know, we have taken an awful hit. And I think what concerns me most is I'm lucky I've seen how it can be, and that it was just ordinary and no one really cared. You know, you go into the ladies' loo and people will come up to you and all they wanted to know is where you got your hair done and, you know, your makeup and all that. You went in, locked door, peed and walked out, washed your hands. Somebody else might come up and have a chat and then you'd walk out. I mean, the ladies' loo has always been quite a social place for me, where people chat. So it's really horrible for me to see this change, but you think of the youngsters who are coming through or at unis now, and especially a university that's close to me, the UWE, the West of England University. they were only one of two universities that decided to jump straight away and say, right, Supreme Court said this. You know, they tried to frame it as though, oh, well, we're caring about you, but... And it worries me about the youngsters coming up, how their lives are going to be formed. They're probably going to be traumatized by all this hate. And I really know, and I have confidence, and I'm sure you do, Jess, that we're going to come out the other side of this. And there'd be a Section 28 apology down the line. I know it, because history repeats itself. And that's how history has gone with minorities. That trauma worries me so much that I don't see a certain age group pulling out of it very well, and their mental health deteriorating to a stage where they will find it difficult, even when things improve, to lift themselves.
Yeah, so I'm 27, and I've been working in or doing trans sort of rights campaigning for the last 6-7 years. So certainly for my whole experience of kind of being a trans person has been during this sort of moment of increasing hostility, I haven't ever really seen things be positive, just sort of slowly getting worse, and being one of the people, I guess, working in the space trying to resist how much worse it's been getting. And I sadly predict that my work is unlikely to end particularly soon, although I, like you, am optimistic that it will end, and that we will see a political moment where things do get significantly better than they currently are. And I think you're right that that it comes at a massive cost to the people who are having to live during this period and experience this and try and navigate their lives in the shadow of an immense amount of hate. And I imagine that we will see decreasing numbers of trans people coming out, a lot of people staying in the closet who otherwise would have felt confident to come out even a decade ago, which is really upsetting. Because, you know, I'm sure you and I both know the amount of harm that's caused by being in the closet, right?
Yes,
it's not a neutral experience. And I think it's really shocking to me that we currently have a government who is meant to be, purports itself to be progressive on these kind of issues, and it is causing a massive amount of harm to the queer community in this country. And I really, really hope that there can be a change. But, you know, I think as with any difficult political period in history, no one wants to be the people who live through it. No one wants to be the people who are in that fight. But we don't really have a choice as to when and where we live. It's kind of up to us to take what the circumstances we're in and try and do our best to stop hate and create hope and joy and look after and love one another. And I just really hope that we can all keep doing that.
Indeed, Jess, and lovely words to end on. Can you repeat your The Good Law Project website, please, and socials, because people need to follow you, because you are doing some really good work, and I'm sure the upcoming cases will be won.
Hopefully, at some point. We will just have to keep fighting for as long Indeed. As we need to. So go to the Good Law Project website at goodlawproject.org, and we are at Good Law Project on lots of different socials. So you can find us wherever. And thank you very much for having me on today.
Thank you, Jess, for your time. I know you're very busy. And also a big thank you for joining us when we were doing our 12-hour broadcast at Bristol Pride, and you were there as well. And you actually were on stage, weren't you?
Yes, that was great fun. It was great fun to speak to everyone in Bristol.
Yeah, it's a good vibe, isn't it, Bristol Pride?
Yeah, it was. It was really interesting, really exciting, and really great energy, even though it was really warm.
Yes, it was really hot. Yeah, well, that's one of the hottest we've ever broadcast. Our broadcast goes for 12 hours, and my voice is still croaky. In fact, I was on air this morning at 10 a.m. till midday, and my voice was still croaky.
Well, yeah, my voice was properly cracking on a Sunday morning, so I can't imagine what you were at.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Jess, so much for your time.
Okay. Take care.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The Prize Spirit.
Definitely.
He's a Dolly Parton. It's just a club mix of it. So obviously nine to fun.
We interviewed her a couple of years ago, didn't we?
And we interviewed the tribute act, yeah. Which you would have never known, wasn't
she? Was
really
brilliant.
She was
amazing.
Yes, that was, yeah. I remember that.
Who was
one.
The guy
yes,
who sang
fantastic.
With her?
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny
Rogers. Yeah,
that freaked me out.
Well, because he's passed on, so we thought, my God, he's been reincarnated. He's walking up the stage behind Dolly.
Yeah, he was walking up the ramp, and we were in the studio looking at him. I think. What?
It was a bit like a prior lovely Laura, I think her name was, who was the Chapel Rowan.
Oh yeah.
She was lovely.
She was hot.
She was wearing latex. Yeah. You know. I mean, you should have seen the amount of talcum powder she went through after she took it off. So anyway, it's just yourself today, Mr.
Is,
Star.
Yes.
Cool. So let's get some news headlines.
Okay. This is Shout Out News. Welcome along. The Good Law Project has slammed the news that discriminatory guidance from the Equalities and Human Rights Commission on trans spaces is due to come into force at the start of August. The project says the Equalities Minister has ordered the government's harmful code of practice will apply from August 5th. We're pushing back. Harmful statutory guidance, which strongly encourages service providers to exclude and segregate trans people, is due to come into force. Even though the code of practice is not binding, it is set to have a devastating impact on trans people's lives. They went on, whilst it only applies to services and associations, not employers, the guidance is widely expected to have much of a broader effect. Businesses, clubs and other bodies must consider it, but it doesn't change the law. And where there is a conflict with the Equality Act 2010, they must follow the Act. The code says that offering single-sex services only according to biological sex is likely to indirectly discriminate against trans people. But instead of saying that organisations can provide trans-inclusive services, the guidance treats trans people like a third sex, suggesting that they have to use separate third spaces and services rather than the ordinary ones provided for men and women. Forcing trans people to use third spaces creates stigma and risks outing them. Well, for more information on the Good Law Project's work on discrimination against trans people, you can visit goodlawproject.org and scroll down to their campaigns page and their Trans Fighting Fund. Australian gay magazine DNA reports on the falling flat of a Republican American candidate who tried to use African animals to show that homosexuality was not natural. The Florida congressional hopeful has found himself on shaky ground after invoking the animal kingdom to argue that no one is born gay. His name is Rod Joseph, a Republican candidate for the US House of Representatives. Joseph reportedly stated that nobody is born gay and then pointed to nature as evidence. However, his choice of the giraffe as an example has proved particularly ill-advised, as the species is one of the most well-documented examples of same-sex activity in the wild. According to biologist Bruce Bagnell's 1999 book Biological Exuberance, which remains a key text on the subject, up to 94% of observed mounting amongst giraffes occurs between two males. Female-female mounting accounts for 1% of recorded incidents. Same-sex behaviour has been recorded in more than 1,500 species, a figure noted by the History of Oslo's Natural History Museum during its 2006 exhibition titled Is It Against Nature? The show's academic advisor, Petter Bachmann, told Audubon magazine, "People always come up with the argument that homosexuality is somehow against nature. That's not true." Bristol 247 reports that up to 30,000 people participated in the annual Pride Day march and festival in the city last Saturday. With the sun beating down, the parade wound from Castle Park to Lloyd's Amphitheatre as the pavements were lined with people watching the procession. Hundreds of social groups, sports groups, clubs and societies, through to political action organisations, were represented on the march, whilst on the downs, the community tent linked festival goers with the NHS, statutory services and many more voluntary societies. Headliners at 2026 Festival included Sister Sledge and Jason Donovan, alongside performances by Black Box, Chloe Keisha, Absolute Britney and a cabaret stage headlined by Trinity the Tuck. The essence of the day was also transmitted for those unable to make it via the airways of the community stations BCFM in Bristol and Bath Sound in Bath. The very first Pride event in Bristol took place in 1977, known as the Bristol Gay Festival. It was one of the earliest queer regional events outside of London and consisted of social events and film screenings at the Arnold Feeney and Bristol Arts Centre. More than a decade later, in 1988, Avon Pride held its first march through Bristol, who went on to evolve into Bristol Pride and now attracts upwards of 40,000 revellers each year, according to organisers. Out magazine, the famous gay monthly, marks Non-Binary Awareness Week by celebrating the lives of several key non-binary personalities. The term non-binary might feel like a recent addition to many people's vocabularies, but throughout history, individuals have challenged rigid ideas about gender. These pioneers pushed back against society's expectations, paving the way for today's non-binary and gender non-conforming communities. Tune into our website or that of out.com for the profiles of over 10 non-binary trailblazers. LGBTQIA culture magazine Instinct this month delves into a little told story in the long history of queer organisations and gay activism. In the early 70s, a group organised in San Francisco and modelled on the Black Panthers espoused militant LGBTQIA liberation and, in common with the newly developing women's liberation groups, preached that self-defence against anti-gay attackers was no offence. The driving force behind the organisation was the Reverend Raymond Brochiers. He had grown tired of watching police swoop into gay bars, witnessing trans women arrested simply for existing, and seeing queer people avoid reporting violence. Mainstream gay rights groups, he argued, often prioritise respectability over the needs of trans individuals, sex workers, and those on low incomes. Brochiers turned his energy towards those he believed society had left behind. The Lavender Panthers armed themselves with sawed-off pool cues, clubs, whistles, chains, red spray paint and other makeshift items whilst walking the neighbourhoods of gay San Francisco. Brochiers described their purpose as a protective one. Their most famous intervention occurred outside a bar called the Naked Grape, where teenagers had confronted two gay men who were leaving for the evening. Before harassment could turn violent, the Lavender Panthers appeared, and the teenagers fled the scene. Sadly, by 1975, the Lavender Panthers had disbanded, and Brochiers' health and emotional state reportedly worsened. Friends thought he carried deep trauma from years of activism and a lack of recognition. He sadly suffered a cerebral stroke and died at the age of 46. His obituary in the Bay Area Reporter highlighted the contradictions that followed him through life. And finally, gay culture blog Queer Guru notes that the UK is marking South Asian Heritage Month. Their correspondent Riz reports on the screening of queer-themed movies as part of July's London Indian Film Festival. Recognised as the largest South Asian film festival in Europe, it is once again dedicated a strand of its programme to queer narratives. Titled Too Desi, Too Queer, the selection presents a collection of short films and documentaries that celebrate and give a platform to South Asian LGBTQ plus experiences. Further details and tickets can be found on the festival website at londonindianfilmfestival.co.uk/2desi2queer2026. That's another Queer News Week concluded. We'll be back here with next week's programme with more articles. In the meantime, check out the Gay Web for more content. Why not start at our website? You can go to shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shout Out News, I've been Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Now, I've got the song coming up in a little bit that we talked about, Dance Dance. But I have to admit, it was lovely meeting loads of different people, wasn't it, when we were up at the Downs? But this next interview, I don't think I've ever laughed so much in my life. Would you agree?
It was, what a hoot it was.
It was absolutely hilarious. This is from Saturday just gone at Bristol Pride, when the lovely Sister Sledge came and joined us on the microphones when 3 minutes turned into 15. And I've got the whole lot for you, so here you go. Now, I'm just going to fade that out just for a little bit, because I've been joined by the most amazing-looking women in front of me. Before they go on the stage, very warm welcome to Sister Sledge. Hello.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you here. Hi. Welcome to Bristol. Have you been... You must have performed here before, I'm sure.
Yes, I love Bristol. It's one of our favourite places.
Is it?
It is.
Can we sing We Are Family before we start?
Everyone can see we're together.
Yes.
As we walk on by, we are family.
So just show us. Woo. Very short.
I got all my sisters with me, and my brothers too. We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Ooh, amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, I mean, that is a track that is known so far and so wide, isn't it? So, I'm assuming it's something you're really proud of, because you do a lot of songs, obviously, but that's the one that the minute you say Sister Sledge, everyone goes straight to that one as their first one, yeah. Doesn't it? It doesn't get boring after all these years,
It never gets boring.
So, can you tell us a bit of the history of it? How did it come about?
Well, actually, right now, how the song came about?
Yeah,
well, we were in the studio with Niall and Bernard of the Chic organization, and they introduced that song to us in the studio.
Oh, wow.
So that was, it's going to be 50 years.
Wow.
Good Lord.
And that's crazy.
In 2027 or 2028, 27, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Gosh. It's amazing.
It still feels as modern today as it did back then, yeah. If I'm right. You still hear it all the time, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Again. Yeah. I was walking around the supermarket the other day, and I'm like, I'm going to hear them at Pride in a few weeks. So what can the audience expect from your set? Because you're finishing, aren't you? You're going to close the whole show out for us.
Oh, we're hoping to party up a storm.
Yeah. We hope it's a huge party. We're going to do lots of dancing, and we're going to be...
We're just going to be
playing all the hits. Yeah. Hands in the air. Let's go.
Hey, let's go.
Yeah. Anything that you thought a finale was, but so
crazy.
Much bigger. Yeah.
I've got a feeling you are going to bring that energy. I don't know what it is.
Yes.
You know? But I really feel like it's going to be there tonight. And I'm really kind of aware that the LGBTQI+ community have a real affinity with your music. We love you. And I'm just wondering what that's like for you. Do you, when you're in spaces and performing to queer people, is there a special type of energy that you experience?
It's family.
Family.
For sure.
But
for
We just see people.
Yeah.
Beautiful people.
Anybody that loves your songs, you're in.
In good company.
Yeah, yeah. You're just in good company. I'm really
and
expecting.
And it's a good message.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that message.
Exactly.
Beautiful message.
But is it lovely when people start singing the songs along with
you?
Right.
That's my favorite part.
Is it?
Yeah. It's just an explosion of love and joy and
energy
light.
Energy is so strong.
Yeah. It feels good.
So is this part of a tour? Are you doing... Have you done some other prides or other gigs? And
What was our last thing? We just did Love Supreme.
Let me guess. Most of the artists we talked to so far, they're like, "Yeah, I'm here today. I'm over the other side of the country tomorrow." And they're like, "Is it a similar kind of thing with you?"
We'll be around the other side of the world tomorrow.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah,
literally.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
Wow, where are you going?
Where are you going?
Back to America.
Right.
But yeah, unfortunately, with the weather
engagement. And I'll be in Germany.
Germany
next weekend.
We're
going
to
split forces.
Yeah.
I see. So you're not always together. You have sort of separate things going on.
Well, sometimes. This one is special. She's a special one?
Yes. Well, these guys are extremely busy. We're all very busy. Our most favorite times is together, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But these are major writers. They're major artists.
Lots of little projects happening at the same time. Yeah.
Are we allowed to ask for any tidbits? Or is it all hush-hush secret at the moment?
Tidbits about what? The show?
Tell about your song that's out now.
Yes, please. Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is my mom. I have a dance song coming out, and she always tells me all my music is really great, and I never believe her because she's my mom. So I'm like, thanks so much.
Sure.
Mom. But it's a dance track, and it's actually called Dance Dance.
It's brilliant.
It's streaming on the platforms right now, and we're just kind of
and
like
we'll be doing it soon,
touring it.
Snippet of it tonight, no?
Oh no, it's not in this show tonight. The band still has to learn it. It's so new. Released it.
What sort of genre would you say it was? Is it in keeping with Nile Rodgers?
Dance. Yeah. I guess that's kind of redundant. I'm like, it's kind of dance music called Dance Dance, and it's a dance track.
I love that. It's dance dance.
It actually has some old school
dance in it.
It actually has some old school funk in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll make you dance, you know.
Shut up.
How long did it take you to come up with the name for the song?
I say it a whole lot, so the band's like, yeah, let's just call it Dance Dance. And I'm like, alright, cool.
Okay.
You know what? Let's go with it.
Do you know what would be funny? Ironically, it would be quite funny if it wasn't a dancey track.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Dance, dance.
It's like a love song.
No, dance. Yeah, just dance, dance.
Yeah.
Emo dance.
Oh, no. Yeah, but man, it's one of those things where you just, you know, it's groovy.
Yeah.
And it's happy.
And out. So it's a happy track. Get it on Spotify and.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, great. We'll have to see if we can get it on the show next week.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. What inspires your music other than dance and dancing?
Oh, man. You know what? I just like rhythms a lot. I like a lot of, I like dancing myself, but I like just groovy, like drum beats, a lot of bass. I like a lot of different things. I like different world music.
We'll find out that these are major dancers.
Okay,
you'll see that tonight. On the stage. You'll see it.
Well, you know, if music's on, we don't know how to start.
I know, you can see us right now.
We're not professional dancers. We're just, you know,
music
we're moved by dance, by music. Yeah, it's true.
So your mum has just put you up on a pedestal, so we're expecting some good moves.
Right,
you'll see. And then we have the greatest dancer on our team. That is my son, David. You'll see him.
Okay. I know
he's
got some
moves.
Great dancers tonight. I'm just looking at the outfits already. I know it's going to go down.
You might see a little moonwalk. Just saying.
Okay.
Not us, but... we like to dance, but...
I would like to see.
That would be interesting, though. Moonwalking heels. That would be something.
I feel like it might be a really good exit.
It could,
you know,
right.
We should work on that.
Like
that
out.
Could be our way off.
Yeah. And stage left.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a feeling, listeners, we're in for a real treat of a finale tonight. Can you tell?
It's
going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think we're the warm up act, actually.
Yeah. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger from here. So.
And what are you up to afterwards? Because you're saying you're really busy.
Go back home, you know, regroup a bit. I have some writing to finish. I have a bad habit of starting like 50 different songs and not finishing them.
They're really finished.
They're really finished.
There's a few that are finished. I know. Okay.
You're like, put it out.
Like, she's everybody's
mom.
God. But I have some stuff. So.
So this really is kind of like the party before you got to go back to the sanity of life.
Pretty much, yeah. And then it's digging in. But, I mean, it's kind of a party when you're creating all the time.
Yeah, I was thinking it's really interesting when you're just sharing that. I know it was lighthearted, but, you know, writing all those tracks but taking your time to complete them. I feel like that in and of itself is an artistic process that some artists experience.
Many.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of... I know of a lot of some of my favorite artists who have gone through... And, you know, you won't hear another album for 10 years.
Yeah.
But then when it comes out, it's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm a masterpiece writer, but...
She is.
Yeah, you are.
I do.
Yeah,
I am in particular. Yeah, I'm always... It's never good enough, even
we'll
if it's
say it
good.
For you.
I'm just like, I don't no, let me rewrite the whole thing.
Humble, yet gifted.
No. It's beautiful.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm working
on
stuff.
Yeah, I'm working on some jazz, actually.
Oh, amazing. So,
she's an amazing jazz
singer.
I'm excited about that.
Do you write it?
Yes, I write some songs, yes.
Amazing. Do any of you play instruments? I mean, obviously, you know.
Unfortunately, no.
A little bit. I would never play in front of anyone.
just on your own.
Yeah, no, I actually run a music school back at home, too.
Oh, amazing.
It's called School of Hip Hop, and me and my husband run it. And it is a lot of fun. But we do teach the kids little
teach
things.
Teach the next generation.
Yeah.
Oh, I love things like that.
So what is your favorite genre?
Oof. Mm. Oh. Well, that's going to be hard.
I love so many. It's hard to pick. I really love old soul.
Old soul
music really moves me.
Oh, so like Motown?
All the Motown, Marvin Gaye. I just love all that. Gladys Knight, Aretha Franklin.
That's my generation.
That's where my spirit lives, is in old soul music.
Aretha Franklin.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. The Arista artists and, Atlantic artists.
So I'm assuming we're going to end with the big We Are Family. Well, what other songs have we got coming up in the finale?
We have a new song that we're going to do tonight.
Yeah, we're going to do one new song tonight at least.
Free.
Is it called Dance Dance?
No, but it'll make you dance for real, definitely. It's called Free. We wrote it a few years ago, and that's a hyped up.
That's a fun song.
I feel like this crowd is going to really appreciate it. And I know many of them have probably heard it already because we're always out here. But
I mean, we're obviously a little bit biased because we're based in Bristol, but the number of artists that come and go, you think the crowd's good, and you always say, oh, you're the best crowd. They're like, we come to Bristol, and like, the Bristol crowd really get into it and absolutely love it.
There's no place like Bristol.
Just don't jump when the cannons go off.
Just speaking to people.
Just don't jump into the cannon. That's what you're telling us, right?
And you can dance.
Talk about a stage dive.
I was just thinking, if I were to
near the end of it.
You know we're going to look it up and play it on the show on Thursday, don't you?
If I were going to write a song, I'd call it Dad Dancing, because this is how I dance, which I feel,
So what
do your thing. Instructions, and everyone can dance.
That's what
everybody
it's called.
Can dance.
That's why it's called Free.
I have a
Everybody's free.
But what you really should do is go download Dance Dance and then film yourself dancing to it and then send it to us. So we can post it.
We can all dance in different ways.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right. Point. Yeah.
I'll do what do they call that? Like an edit of us doing our little dances.
That's exactly what you
can ask the crowd.
How do you dance?
I have a feeling you're going to have 40,000 people dancing with you in an hour or so.
We usually do a selfie, with the crowd at some point.
Turn around with a phone.
Yeah.
And
everybody, put your hands
in
the air.
Amazing.
Smile.
You should have come over to chat to us about 4 hours ago. And just stayed.
Just going to hype people on the side of the stage.
I don't think we had such a good time.
No.
Okay, I'm hosting from now on. You guys can go on lunch
there
break.
There we go.
Okay,
there we go.
Bye.
Okay. Take it away, Camille.
Shout out host to host of the
I mean, this is the biggest pride that Bristol have had so far. So this is the most amount of people that
we've
had here.
About 40,000.
That's really exciting.
Wow. And the biggest march. And I feel like, the energy, they bring it every year.
And
but
it's
it has
all
felt
for you.
Different this year. Yeah, it's all for you.
All for you.
Yeah. That's what we've heard.
On a serious note, because as much fun as it is, we're community radio and we do this because there are some people who are not out or not comfortable with being out.
Yes.
And we do this so they can listen along and still be part of it.
Yes.
What message would you give to them?
Shout out.
Shout out and dance.
Dance.
Yes. Be as free as
one
you can be.
One of the lines is dance like nobody's watching.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's the best advice ever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in our other song, Free, we're just like, I'm free.
Right. Whether you're in the house or out on the street, just be as free as you can be.
And I guess you can find
because love
that
is going to follow you wherever you're at anyway. So.
That's right. Yeah. And there is community everywhere.
It's true. Yes. It, that is true.
There's always going to be your people.
Absolutely.
So, when if I mean, it sounds like it might be somewhere abroad, so I might regret asking this. When are you next back together performing after this one?
New York?
I think, yes.
Early New August? York?
Yeah. Yeah.
Early August.
The beginning of August. We're setting it off with, in New York and Minnesota, I think. And then we've got a world of stuff coming up. Literally halfway across the world. And
so we're very privileged to have managed to get you here.
Yeah, I know you've got...
I don't read the schedule.
That's the only thing I can think of right now. What's next? I know we have other stuff. We have some recording schedule. Yeah,
you get off the mic and someone will tell you exactly what you're doing next in a minute.
Somebody in the tent right there is like, they don't even know the schedule.
Anyway, we're being asked to wrap it up with you. So it's been absolutely lovely having you. I haven't had such a blast interviewing anyone in the 16 years we've been doing this. It's been brilliant.
It's been such
a joy. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us. Best of luck with the show. We'll be watching
and
listening. Sister Sledge, everyone.
Yeah, and please come back next year.
And dance.
I'm going to take us back to the main stage because things are still going on over there.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Now, me and Steph have heard this. Would you like to hear this? This is a song that Camille Sledge did. It's called Dance, Dance.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Dance, 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 dance. Anita is here. She'd do that so well. Dance, 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 dance. What do you think? You like it?
Yes, it's sort of, it's all right. It's not up there with Chic and Sister Sledge classics because I was born in an era when all the classics are always better than anything new.
So they were so nice to interview.
Lovely, yeah.
And there you go, Camille. I promise you I will play it on the show. So if you're listening, that's your song. So they're back in America now, I think.
Yeah, I tagged them so many times on Insta and Facebook on all accounts that we can get to.
That's a really big name, isn't it?
They were so nice.
Bristol Pride and Sister Sledge.
And what an ending as well. It was like watching a Vegas show. It was so well choreographed and put together.
Hit after hit after hit as well.
Yeah. And they even did things like the drummer had a solo and the guys had a song on their own and the like, you know.
Nice is we could get in the press bit in between.
You kept running from one side to the other like a little kid, didn't you?
Well, it's because we had the passes to do it. That's never happened before, so I thought I'd take advantage of that.
It was quite funny. Did you see the streamers that went off? You know, halfway through with Jason Donovan, we had the confetti, and then the wind blew it. It blew it in the studio. Well, when those confetti ones—not the confetti—they're like streamers, weren't they? They were really, really long. I don't think the audience quite knew what hit them, let alone if you actually look behind you, there's a tech lot that are in a marquee looking at the stage because they're running all the lights and all of that, and apparently went straight into that marquee and all over the kit. They couldn't see anything, they couldn't get anything to work. It was just streamers galore all the way through it. So but there's some amazing shots of that too that Tony took.
It was really lovely.
Definitely up there with my favourite. I think that is probably my favourite prize so far, that one.
I think when I look back, there's certain ones I think, and little bits like Heather Small. She was brilliant.
Yeah,
you know,
the artists were. Yeah, that was Castle Park. That was how long ago that was. Over 10 years ago. Yeah,
and Sonique when she brought her little dog, and Sophie Ellis Bexter when she brought her little baby.
Yeah, I think we've interviewed her twice, haven't we? Yeah. Sophie Ellis Bexter. Yeah, she had like ear defenders
on her little kid.
The ear defenders, I think each one was bigger than the kid's head. It was quite funny. So, but you can't blame them for doing that. It's quite noisy backstage. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that interview. It was really good. We will bring you others that we did as well because there were some phenomenal interviews. And we'll bring them over the next few weeks.
Look forward to it.
The only disappointment for me is I didn't get a chance to get on the bus while I was live. I got on the bus, but we weren't
live. You did?
I did get on the bus.
Oh, right.
I didn't
know that.
To the driver because I thought I'd jump on, but the
problem... Did you say cheers, driver, as you got off?
Of course. It's compulsory.
What we do in this city.
God.
Cheers, driver. I say thank you, driver. Thank you.
You're a Bristolian
too. That's because you're posh.
Yeah, a posh Bristolian. Yeah. Newsreader style. So you don't say cheers drive. You say no, you're not as Bristolian, are you?
Oh, I absolutely say cheers drive every cheers Sunday. I'll tell you what, it lands differently if you get off a bus in Edinburgh then.
Yeah, I don't know what. We haven't got Tara here. She'd say how we say it if it's in, up there.
What probably. Do they do in Edinburgh? They look at you?
I don't know, but there was a look of absolute confusion when I said cheers. Oh, they do speak a foreign language.
Anyway, that's it for this week. If you've got an event or a story, or perhaps you'd even like to get involved with the radio here with us, do get in touch. We would love to hear from you.
Plus, all our shows are available as podcasts on all good services, as well as our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
I have no idea what we're doing next week. Do you know?
No.
No. Okay. Join us next week when we'll have something else exciting. From myself, from Terry, from Arby, and from Steph. Say bye-bye, everyone. Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.